much, Mustafa. I would like also to thank the WTO Secretariat for having invited me to this second WTO Chairs meeting. My first impression is that you have really achieved a lot during 1 year. It's incredible how many activities have been completed. And there have been some positive comments, basically, from everyone who spoke before me, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But I would like to associate myself with the positive words from our colleague from AERC, saying that you have managed to attract attention to the trade agenda. And I would like to add to it one more element, which I think it was also important, which is a subset of the first one, saying that you have attracted attention to the role of academia in trade, and this is not necessarily the same thing, and especially international organizations like ours, which are naturally somehow oriented towards training policymakers and point, that's it. So it's another merit I would like to give you. Everybody was thanked, I think, the secretariat of the WTO chairs, the two main figures were thanked. I would also like to thank probably the absent people who are the mentors of individual chairs programs, because I'm sure they've put a lot of work into working with individual universities. So now I have this ungrateful task of cooking another soup of the same chicken. I will not talk about value added. I hope there is still some wing or leg left which can be used for that purpose. So I tried to put together some at least points that I could comment on, so I'm not excessively repetitive. I have six points if I remember them still all. The first point was triggered by the mention of many of the presenters of the fact that they have been able to attract other partners or other funds to support them in their activities. And here I would like to say that it's a very important point, which links basically to your objectives. And I will give an example of my friend here in Senegal, where we met for the first time in 2005, and I asked Ali, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to achieve? And we discussed and discussed, and it crystallized that he wanted to have a master's program on international trade, and he wanted to have a trade team, a research team, and trade research agenda at the institute. And so given these objectives, he was trying to bring together partners who would help them to achieve these objectives. So attracting other partners is a very good thing, and it's even a better thing if you can link these partners to achieving something that you have in mind, so that they support you in that endeavor. Because it was also mentioned, the WTO Chairs Fund, even though it's much higher than the UNCTAD funds we were able to provide in the past, they are still limited. So you have to get some other people to help you out, and it's good if they can support you in what you want to achieve. Because sometimes, and it's also self-criticism, sometimes you go where the funds are and you get diverted from what you would like to do or should like to do. So that's first aspect or first comment I would like to make. The second one is a comment on the local versus or and network activities, because the program, the WTO Chairs program, in my view, was conceived as a highly decentralized program, a local program basically. The universities decide what they want to do, and it's done locally. And this network aspect was not there from the outset specifically mentioned. What happened, as you have seen, many of these universities, they started to develop the grassroots network elements in the program. So I think it's a very positive development. I was already last year commenting in positive terms on the leeway that the WTO chairs gave to the universities to really be able to propose activities that they want to do and not something that is imposed. So you have seen a great variety of different things that the universities are doing, and that is linked to the needs of their countries. So I think this is very important, that there was nothing really imposed. And it also, I was quite pleasantly surprised to see the creativity of the chairs in terms of what tools they have used, what activities they have done, what ideas they have had, and I think it's a very positive development. For the network activities, there is no prescriptive list. I think we have seen many examples of what could be done, be it joint research, joint programs, double degree programs, whatever other programs. You can have academic mobility, people going from one university to teach the other one. You can have joint conferences, et cetera, et cetera. We have experienced a number of them with the Virtual Institute already, such as the joint research projects we have done in Latin America, in fact, which resulted in publications. We have experienced joint development of teaching materials, also the mobility, where south-south and north-south teaching, basically. So all this is, I think, very welcome, and it's good that it's coming from the shareholders as their own initiative. The third comment is an ugly implementation comment, is that, as you have found out, but you probably knew before, it's a lot of work. Implementing a chair is a lot of work. So far, this work was mainly, not entirely, concentrated at the local level. If you were to also increase the centralized activities or the centralized involvement of the WTO, it would be more work for the WTO. So this is always something that has to be seen as compared with the resources that could be made available. And it's something that the WTO would need to consider, because we have been doing these centralized services. I know what it is. It's a lot of work. I'm not saying it should be this way or the other way. I think that the ideal case is the combination somehow of the two, because there's rationale for having these very varied, locally adapted activities in each chair. But there is also some merit in having activities like joint research projects or conferences and other things that would benefit from some kind of more centralized approach, because instead of everybody doing the same thing somehow. So that's for consideration to the WTO, whether they would like to undertake it. Well, I think it's a very good thing as well. So there was also a sort of constatation of the fact that some activities went better or faster than the others. And in fact, it's not a surprise, because each activity takes some time and energy and effort to put in place. What is the easiest, everything is work, but what is the easiest is probably organize a short training course. You invite speakers and you get together some participants. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the easiest. So you can have these short-term courses and this can be done. Then the second one probably would be to update a course. You will get some materials from the WTO. You can enrich the course and have an updated course. So that was also what was done in many cases. What is more difficult is research, because it takes more time and more effort. And I would also like to make a point here, which I forgot to make when I was talking about Ali, is that in that regard it's important, in my personal, strictly personal opinion, to have teams of people involved in the WTO chairs, not just the holder, but also some others, because it can distribute the work. Okay, selfishly, but it can also distribute the benefits, and you can get more done, and you are sort of more sustainable. If somebody falls sick or something happens, then there are other people who can carry on with the activities. And in that context, also what is important and what was done by a number of chairs is to involve the PhD students. So you are building the research capacity, and you are building the next generation of people who will already be trained by you by doing, and will increase somehow the intake of your activities. Yes. And finally, the last point, which is, I think, most difficult to achieve if you aim at it, and I think some of you definitely did, is this policy influence. Basically, we have been working with the Fluxo, and I know that Fluxo is doing a lot on policy influence, because it's not only to produce the research, but what will happen to it afterwards. Will it be used by someone? How it will be used? Because it depends what the objectives are, whether it's an academic publication or not. But this policy influence is the most difficult, I think, and takes most effort, because you have to build credibility, you have to build reputation with the policymakers, and it's not something you can do with the same ease as organize a one-week training course or two-day training course. So that's why it's not surprising that some of the activities went faster than the others, at least for me. next one was next one, the comment is on impact, and it's only a comment because I don't have a solution. Since we have been in this business, Anka doesn't have any money, so whatever you want to do, you have to look for money, and donors ask for impact all the time. So we are reporting here, there, and everywhere about impact. So before I go into the sort of how it could be done or what could be the impact, I would like to associate myself with Juliana's comments that it takes time and effort to do evaluations and reporting. And there is a delicate balance between doing reporting and still have time to do some activities about which you are going to report. Also, the indicators are not, I haven't seen any clear indicators. It's really not, because you can, you have the event or training, short-term training, you can give the participants some tests. So, okay, you can say, that was fine, the impact is there, they have learned. You can go further, you can say, okay, what did they do with the knowledge afterwards? Did they use it in their work? How do you know? Did the country's policies improve because these people were trained? No idea. So you can go as far as you want. Did the country's welfare improve? There is no limit to how far you can go. It's very difficult really to find some meaningful indicators. For curricular development, okay, you can train these people, you can follow up when they are going to go afterwards, are they going to work in the government at least, or where are they going to work. I know that, again, Senegal, they are following where the graduates go to work, so you can report to the donor. These people are working in the government, there is some likelihood that perhaps they have used what they have been taught. So, and we can have an alumni association follow through what these people will do afterwards, somehow to keep them together with the university and the program they studied in. For research, what is the indicator? Is it the academic publication? Is it if your paper is accepted by a conference as a paper for proceedings? Is it a peer-reviewed journal in the country, outside the country, the ranking of different journals, which one is better, which one is worse? For the policy influence, I was saying it's really difficult to see. But I would like to make a comment on the policy influence, which would really like to associate myself with ARC and Richard, that, one thing is to disseminate what you have done. You can hope that people will take it up. Perhaps what could be done as well, but it's more difficult, is to go a little bit en amont and try to see what is it that the policymakers need in terms of research, as was mentioned by the two of you. How to do that? You have to cultivate a relationship with policymakers. One of the ways that was mentioned here is Vietnam and also you, Ali, that you are members of these interministerial trade negotiation committees. You are members of the National Assembly Economic Commission. So you know these people. You have the feeling for what they would need. And it's also important in terms of intake, because if you involve them from the beginning, perhaps, I don't want to be an idealistic person, if they somehow have the ownership or participate in the process, they may say, okay, perhaps we could implement it, because they can shape it, they have a stake also. And another thing that can help with is the access to data, because in quite a number of cases, academia, our previous experience, they are detached from the governments and they could not get data. They would like to do research, but they could not get it. So if the government is somehow involved, it may be more likely they will give them the data and other things. Okay. So there's the comments on impact. And finally, there was a mention of IT tools, I think, websites and things like that. So we have been using the website from the beginning. We have used it successfully as a repository of materials. We try to make it user-friendly. There is email alert for publications. We have a lot of news and announcements, etc., etc. Where it didn't work, it was for communication and networking. It really didn't work. And here I would pledge for meetings like this one, because I know for a fact that quite a number of our own joint projects or activities originated from the meetings where people could meet and talk. And I think I can see the same pattern here, because last year, okay, you met, but this year I can see we have done a project with Ramon, we have this project with the university in Morocco, et cetera, et cetera. So the IT tools are good for follow-up, but it didn't really work for us as a networking tool, because people don't have time. They would not go to the website to... And there are social media. There is so much competition from other sources. So people have to think about how they use their time. On the IT tools also, we have been using video conferences for 3 or 4 years already. So we continue. We hope to continue. We hope that people will get better connected and have more facilities, because they need to have video conference facilities for that. We have been also producing, I think you were talking about these filmed presentations of experts. So we have that. We integrate them with PowerPoints and we give them to the university so that they can perhaps replace one lecture in their course by a lecture of somebody else. If it cannot be live in terms of video conference, and then they can develop a discussion, etc. We are also thinking, because there is a lot of need for training on trade data analysis. Somebody was mentioning the gravity model here. So we are trying to put together a sort of self-learning, small multimedia course that will be on the gravity model, and which we will post on the website so that people can use it also. Okay, I think the chicken is cooked. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vlasta. I think you made very comprehensive. You gave a very comprehensive comments about the trails and some very useful points. I think they are well taken and they are very useful. Giorgio, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. It was a very interesting hearing until now. I would like just to share some comments and some ideas which I developed by listening all these experiences and looking them on the screen, and also hearing the commentators before me. First of all, you know, something that has not been covered is about the financing, because it seems here that some of these shares work only with the relatively modest sums that the WTO puts at the disposal, and other insert this money and the quality and the input from Geneva in a broader picture where they have many other sources. What we heard from Mexico, I mean, it means that there are lots of other money available there, and Argentina and so, and other resources, I don't know, whether domestic, whether students pay, whether other international organizations and so on. There is a richness of that, and that is, of course, very positive, but I think it makes also the comparability very difficult, because one should know what is financed by the WTO and what is financed by other sources which are intelligently used to combine their efforts. I have had recently some experience in that, because I have been lecturing in Vietnam, but not at the university of our friend Vu, but at the Foreign Trade University under a financing by Mutrop III of the European Union, Bocconi, Maastricht with FTU, was more legal than your economic focus. And I'm sorry I didn't have time in that week to come to visit you, but it shows a variety of programs there, and also the double emploi, because frankly we did for that university a full syllabus for a future master in 2 years in international trade and economics with cases and everything, and the same thing is being done probably in other universities from other sources, and then I delivered a short course on WTO law on selected issues which were interest of them, using slides which are on the markets, which I didn't like. Some were good, some I thought they were not so good, some were too long. So in fact, I lived through this, what it means to deliver technical teaching assistance to a class. By the way, then there was consecutive translation of whatever I said in Vietnamese, and this, of course, is also a cumbersome process. hub process, but of course you have to be tailor-made to the customs. So I see then, having said this, a great variety, of course, of problems. Let's take the first pillar, teaching formation, course preparation, because we know as teachers the level of students, the quality of students, their background, what they intend to do, lawyers, not lawyers, economists, mixed background, when you deliver this course, is it a two-year master, is it a more specific course. It's a fact, someone has said, that you don't have always such a big market on teaching specifically WTO law, dispute settlement, SPS, anti-dumping, and this. And very often you would put this in a broader programs of formation on international trade that go be more geared to the private sector, which I understand was the case of Jordan, or more to the public sector, young staff of ministers that need to be formed. So you have the long-term programs and the short-term programs, and they all belong to that. I think a very important aspect, which I have gathered from here and also from the booklet that the WTO has put out, is to make academia central. And this is very, very important, because very often academia is marginalized. We teach we hope good, important, and interesting things, but it remains there to our few students and those who go on for academic career. But governments, local authorities, private business, so on, usually doesn't care much, and they go on their thing and lose what has been done. Instead, this program, especially when I heard when in many countries there are programs, short-term courses, seminars for the staff of ministries and institution of foreign trade, I think it's very important. And this is a very important role for the WTO. When I heard our friend from Kenya, and he started speaking about championship, and immediately at the beginning I didn't understand very well what he meant, but he meant a very important thing. Said there is many international organizations devoted to assistance, to development assistance. UNCTAD is the best known aspect, but it's not the principal business of WTO to teach and train on trade matters. It is rather to regulate international trade. So a program like this is very important, because it puts the WTO in this very important market, focusing on the specialty that the staff here in Geneva has. So I think this is a program that must be commended also from that point of view. Another point which I came to my mind is, of course, we are engaged in forming the student, the graduate student, the PhD student, the people of the government, the private sector. But who teaches all this? Who forms the teachers? Now, we understand that it's not just Mr. A hold of Professor B hold of a chair, but there is a lot of activity going on. We are the most senior, and then we form younger teachers and professors, and that this capacity building is also very important. I don't know whether it's fully taken into account. Maybe also younger staff should be systematically be involved, maybe trained in Geneva when the technical assistant of the WTO goes to this country and these universities, also devote special attention to the preparation of these young professors, which may mean maybe help them in reviewing their papers, their ability in delivering lectures and materials. This is very important. Another thing which I thought is very important is that these universities become centers of further activities. It's not just that you go to University A because there you find an expert of WTO law because he is or she is a holder of a chair, but they are all these national activities, Chile, which is so a long country, but then Flasco, regional activity, and this Mexico with Chile, inviting people from other Latin American countries, and this is also a very important, maybe it started as a side effect, but now I think it's a central element of this program. and also outreach and information that seems somehow a weak and marginal leg is indeed, from what we have seen here, quite fundamental in preparing, as it said here, countries to be more effective participants in the multilateral trading system or in the regional trading system, and making effective use of participating there also through formation to negotiation and to the use of the system. Finally, research. Of course, this is very differentiated because one thing is, you know, to be in a far remote country. Now the world is flat, some say. So you go, you open the internet and you can get all the papers by anyone and that you don't even know. The authors themselves don't know that there is a paper which I never published for a World Bank conference many years ago, and it's probably the most cited paper of mine because it was put by the World Bank on their website. So, but also the local research on the effect of WTO and the local economy on policies, issues, and so on, which may be more difficult to review and to assess and maybe not complete for publications, I think are very important elements of these programs of research, besides when it is possible, like Mexico, launch a new magazine, regional or international, and having top peer-reviewed articles in that. Now, at the end, what is the role for the WTO secretary and also for us of the advisory board in all this? I think the program, the center supports all these activities that are somehow bottom-up, and this is very appropriate. Maybe there could be some more horizontal helping. I don't see very easy, of course, that a university in Vietnam will liaise with one in Senegal to make a joint program, of course. But from the center, for instance, getting all the programs of syllabus, of courses, comparing them a little bit, subdividing, offering them to all the schools that you want to do a master so and so. Here, look what they did in Buenos Aires, what they did in St. Petersburg, what they are doing in Senegal, for instance. The same for the you want to make a specialized 1 week course on certain things, and you could be helped see a format, get also in part material used somewhere else that you can then fit to your need. This could be something important. Also, probably if the WTO make the efforts to collect us all once a year from all over the world with, I think, a notable also budgetary effort, maybe it would be worthwhile, like last year in Barcelona, to have us all here 2 or 3 days. And have some seminars by us or by people from outside or by people from the WTO on not on all issues, on selected issues, on issues of interest, maybe also on methodological issues, teaching WTO law and economics, researching and involving other people. I mean, it could be an added value for us coming here. These are the ideas that I have, and I think I'm very pleased to be part of this program. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Giorgio, for your comments. I think they are very useful and well taken as well. Maintenant, je suis très, très heureux de donner la parole à Antoine Bouet. Antoine, tu as la parole.
Merci. Je vais essayer de faire court. Parce qu'évidemment, c'est assez difficile pour moi puisque je parle en dernier et que le poulet a été cuit plusieurs fois déjà et mangé. Je ne peux que rajouter effectivement une nouvelle fois une impression très positive sur tout le travail qui a été réalisé par les chairholders. C'est très impressionnant, honnêtement. Je vais, et donc c'est un excellent point de départ pour ce programme. Je voudrais quand même faire deux commentaires qui me semblent importants, qui des commentaires qui reprennent en fait des points qui, dans l'ensemble, ont déjà été pris, mais ça, je voudrais quand même les souligner. Le premier tient à l'équilibre recherche-enseignement, et le deuxième aux outreaching activities, que j'ai toujours du mal à traduire, en tout cas de communication, de valorisation de la recherche. Alors, le premier point, c'est donc sur l'équilibre enseignement-recherche. Il y a des projets qui sont très équilibrés, me semble-t-il, en termes d'enseignement et de recherche, et puis d'autres qui sont un petit peu déséquilibrés au détriment de la recherche. Ça a déjà été souligné. Et il a été souligné aussi que peut-être, finalement, des équipes peuvent se spécialiser davantage dans l'enseignement et d'autres davantage dans la recherche. Je ne suis pas d'accord. Je ne suis pas d'accord. Je pense qu'on a souligné plusieurs fois le rôle de l'université dans la société, et je pense que la spécificité de l'université, c'est de faire de l'enseignement et de la recherche, et de faire de l'enseignement qui est nourri par la recherche, et de tenir compte en même temps dans notre recherche justement de l'interaction qu'on a dans notre activité d'enseignement. Donc c'est très important d'avoir ces deux activités en même temps pour tous les programmes. Alors, ceci dit, je pense que effectivement, au bout d'un an, c'est normal. Peut-être que des programmes ne puissent pas développer des activités de recherche, en tout cas ne puissent pas effectivement avoir des outputs aussi flagrants que sur les autres activités. D'abord parce que les activités de recherche, ça prend du temps, ça demande des investissements dans des outils qui sont compliqués, dans des bases de données, alors je reviendrai dessus. Donc je crois que c'est quelque chose qu'il faudra davantage juger à long terme. Et de toute façon, comme M. Azedine l'a souligné, une évaluation annuelle de la recherche est extrêmement difficile, puisque le rythme de la publication, des soumissions à publication, est un rythme qui n'est pas un rythme annuel. Ceci dit, je pense que j'ai quelques incertitudes. Premièrement parce que, alors, je trouve que on manque un petit peu de capacité à juger de cette recherche qui est faite par le biais de ces WTO shareholders. Et personnellement, moi, je trouve qu'effectivement, si à côté de la journée, de cette journée chaque année, on pouvait avoir une journée de la recherche, où on aurait en fait effectivement des exposés de la recherche qui est faite sous ces programmes, ce serait vraiment très intéressant. Et on se rendrait compte des méthodologies qui sont utilisées, des bases de données, de leur qualité, et éventuellement on pourrait, je pense, en tant que membre du Scientific Advisory Board, on pourrait avoir une contribution plus importante auprès des équipes. Et on pourrait nouer des contacts en plus facilement, hein, parce qu'on comprendrait davantage ce que les gens font. Alors, là où j'ai des incertitudes, c'est quand même que ce programme puisse développer deux choses qui me semblent extrêmement importantes dans la recherche. C'est premièrement les données, ça a déjà été souligné par Monsieur Newfarmer, donc ça me semble extrêmement important, les données. Il y a des zones dans le monde où les données sont manquantes de manière criante et où les données sont de très faible qualité. Je pense à l'Afrique en particulier, et c'est un vrai problème, et je ne sais pas comment le programme va répondre à ce problème. Il y a aussi les investissements dans les méthodes quantitatives, les modèles d'estimation, alors je parle de l'économie bien évidemment, les modèles de simulation, il a été mentionné les équations de gravité, les modèles d'équilibre général calculable. Ce sont à la fois des techniques qui évoluent tout le temps, par exemple les méthodes de gravité, il y a une littérature très importante qui s'est développée sur les 4 dernières années, donc ça demande une expertise sans cesse à renouveler. Et puis en même temps, c'est quand même des investissements de long terme. Donc, j'ai un petit peu d'incertitude sur la capacité de ce programme à répondre à ceci. Hein. Sur les sujets de recherche, je trouve que les sujets de recherche couvrent tous les aspects importants. Il y a quand même deux choses qui, à mon avis, manquent. C'est l'économie politique du protectionnisme, que je n'ai pas vu citer beaucoup, et les liens entre politique commerciale et volatilité des prix agricoles, et notamment l'économie des restrictions à l'exportation, qui est un sujet que j'ai très peu vu. Bon, c'est juste un petit commentaire, un petit peu anecdotique. Le deuxième point que je voudrais mentionner, et je vais arrêter très vite, je vous le promets, c'est sur les outreaching activities. Je pense qu'effectivement, comme Olu l'a souligné, et comme d'autres speakers l'ont souligné, je pense qu'il faut effectivement un dialogue préalable avec les policy makers, avec les politiciens, pour créer effectivement une imprégnation entre la recherche faite par les WTO shareholders et la société civile et politique. Et ça, c'est extrêmement important. Vous savez, je viens d'un pays, la France, où l'idée du libre-échange a très très peu d'avis positifs. Et je pense qu'une des raisons pour lesquelles c'est le cas, c'est parce que les économistes sont complètement coupés de la société civile, des politiciens, du débat politique, en tout cas les économistes académiques. Hein. Donc je pense qu'effectivement, à partir du moment où on prend notre agenda de recherche dans un dialogue avec la société, les politiciens, les milieux d'affaires, etc., eh bien, on a une imprégnation plus forte dans l'opinion qui est tout à fait naturelle. Et ça, je pense que c'est vraiment très important. Je signale que AgroDep, alors il a été dit, on parle avec les politiciens localement pour déterminer l'agenda de recherche. Peut-être que c'est une idée qui est peut-être un petit peu dangereuse, hein, de se faire récupérer par des politiciens d'un pays particulier. Donc, ce qu'on a fait, nous, à AgroDep, pour l'Afrique, on a utilisé le calendrier du CADEP. Et le calendrier du CADEP, si je ne m'abuse, le calendrier du CADEP a été une discussion entre un grand nombre de gouvernements pour voir véritablement quelles étaient les questions importantes pour le continent africain. Voilà. Donc je pense qu'effectivement, peut-être pas une réflexion locale, mais une réflexion plus large sur quels sont les sujets de recherche qui sont importants pour la société. Je pense que c'est très important pour véritablement avoir un impact. Je vous remercie.